But folks, one of the things that we have to understand, we all have to understand, God said, be ye holy as I am holy. Say, be ye holy as I am holy. Why? Because he said he wished for men everywhere to lift up holy hands. To lift up holy hands. He told you, I have notes, but because of time, I'm just giving it to you as it comes up. When Moses looked and saw a wonder, a bush was burning, but it wasn't burning up. And he said, I'm going to turn aside and see this great thing. And as he approached, God spoke to him. Take your sandals off your feet, for you're standing on. I have a question based on that. Where was God abiding? Where was he at that time? He was in the bush. And when you look up that word holy, and I mean, I spent hours looking it up. When you look at that word, when it was used in that chapter, according to Acts 7, verse 3, it means the realm of God. Take your shoes off. You're in the realm of God. Why is that so important? Because his shoes has been walking in all kinds of stuff. And when you come into the realm of God, you can't come in tainted. So he said, take your shoes off. Of course, he's going on the premise that he had on clean socks. But he said, take off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy. Were we not made in God's image and after his likeness? Well, God is holy. So if we were made in his image, or since we were made in his image, and since we were made after his likeness, then guess what we were made? Holy. Undefiled by sin. That's a New Testament definition of holy. Pure holy. And that's what we are called to be. I think I want 1 Timothy. Let me. I want to read to you what God's saying about this. We're down toward the end of the notes. Well, first, before we go there, go to Romans 12. I want to show you this first. First two verses, because we've been talking about for weeks now changing the way we think. In the Passion Translation, the first two verses of Romans 12 reads, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. So if we're not living in holiness, we're not going to experience all that delights his heart. How many of you want to experience all of it? We have to live in holiness. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Not throwing your hands in the air and singing praises. Not even falling on your knees. Living holy is our genuine expression of worship. Living how? And it says, and live in holiness. I want to talk a minute about the word and. I'm not an English teacher. It wasn't my favorite subject. When I was in high school, I had some feelings about my English teacher. But the word and, there's several definitions depending on the usage. And when you hear, I'm only going to share two. Makes a big difference in how you see what the scripture is saying. Come on. I laugh when these things happen because I'm like, devil, this is the best you can do is. We know the word and is a conjunction, it connects thoughts. But also it can mean then. It can mean then, T-H-E-N. As in, he prayed his children, then put them to bed. So when you look at that in terms of the scripture, I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, then live in holiness. But it also can mean same time. While you're sleeping, dream. The same time you're sleeping, you dream. At the same time, You're surrendering yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. At the same time, live holy. At the same time, we can't surrender ourselves to God and be unholy. Because doing so means I haven't surrendered to God. I'm doing what's necessary so I can get in on some of the blessings. But I want to live my life. Well, first of all, it's not your life to live. The Bible says you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, where? In your bodies, which are God's. We're called to live holy. Living in holiness is the only way you'll be able to get all that God has for you. Because that's what connects with the blessings, holiness. Your will does not connect with his will. That's why he said, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. But the key phrase is, according to his will. Now, still looking for the scripture. Remember I told you that God was saying to Moses, you're in the realm of God? 1 John 4 tells us anyone who believes and says that Jesus is the Son of God has God living in him. So you could think about it. He said, does that mean we're supposed to walk around barefoot all the time? In a spiritual sense, yes, we're supposed to walk in holiness. And taking off your shoes was equal to, don't come before me with any mess. You're tainting the ground. No, I was thinking about when the rain came, I started thinking about how we sometimes cause drought-like situations. How do you say that? Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, what do we do in the summer concerning the rain? We want to go to the beach. We want to go on picnics. We want to go on vacations. So we pray away the rain. Then winter comes and we hear about snow. And we don't think that's another way to get rain, to get water on the earth. But because it's inconvenient, because it costs money to move, we pray away the snow. So we pray away the rain, we pray away the snow, and get mad at the devil for causing a drought. Yes, we're traveling, Lord, to hold back the rain until. See, we don't realize there's power in our words. Because when we say, Lord, we rebuke the rain, we mean it. We're speaking words of faith. We don't want a drought. We just want to go to the beach. I wanted to go to the, we went to Ocean City. I wanted to see fireworks. And the forecast was rain. We went to the beach anyway because I said, I pray. It's not going to rain until after the fireworks come. The police came to make us get off the beach. Minister Phillips will tell you, I'm like, why do we have to leave? I prayed. It's not going to rain. Well, everybody left the beach. About 15, 20 minutes after that, it poured. Well, the fireworks would have been over then anyway, but it poured. And we're on a bus going back to our suite. And then it stopped. And I'm like, Lord, I want to see fireworks. One of the reasons why we came down here, I want to see the fireworks. Just go out back on the porch. We went out back, had a beautiful view of the fireworks. The balcony, yeah, thank you. We had God living. We have God living on the inside of us, waiting. Just waiting. Remember in Mark 16, confirming the word with signs following. Whatever you say in faith, according to God's will be confirmed by Christ with signs following. Many of you are experiencing the results of those signs that we're following right now. But 1 Peter 1, Amplified Bible, verse 14 and 15. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you, past tense, in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. Not some of. How many of you know we're very good with some of? How many of us need work with the all of? I didn't look around to see who wasn't telling the truth. We're instructed to honor and protect our holiness. Matthew 7, verse 6 in the Amplified says, do not give that which is holy, the sacred thing, to the dogs. And do not throw your pearls before hogs. Why? Well, it tells you, lest they trample upon them with their feet and then turn around and tear you into pieces. You start playing around with unholiness, it's going to start playing around with you. It's going to gain your trust and then turn on you like a rabid dog. Then turn on you. But here's the problem we have, folks. We enjoy some things that God considers unholy. Truth be told, as my oldest son would say, we want to play with the dogs. Why? Well, we delude ourselves. We can change them. We have to witness to them. We do. But we don't witness by doing the same thing they're doing. Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all ways just like we are, yet he was without sin. So he was around people doing illegal drugs. He wasn't tooting with them. He was showing you can be here and not partake of that and be an example. Be an example. I remember before I was saved, I worked down on Wall Street at a bank. And at the office Christmas party, people that never spoke to you all year all of a sudden wanted to get real friendly with you. I'm like, you can stay over there. Well, I'm a little tipsy. All you had to drink was ginger ale. So I used those excuses to do things that they really wanted to do all along. But now there's opportunity, and when opportunity knocks, we have a choice to make. Are we going to remain holy? Or are we going to do something else? There's an analogy I want to read. I think it's funny, but you'll see the point. And I'll tell you the origin of it. I found this maybe 25 years ago. Whenever hip-hop rap music made its debut, and this artist wrote a song, Jesus Walks. It won Dove Awards. But it had profanity in it. So I was wondering, first of all, how could it be nominated? And I had some feelings about the people that voted for it. But he, and the youth wanted to play it at youth fellowship. To check with the pastors. I don't need to check with the pastors on this one. And the last time I did, Pastor Clinton said to me, you're the youth director. You already know what's right and what's wrong. If I have to answer the question, I don't need you as the youth director. So I didn't have to go to him and say, can we play this? Yeah, Pat started saying, that's right. And so I told the young people, we're not playing it. And they had a fit. They threatened to boycott Youth Fellowship. And I said to them, so let me get this straight. You're telling me, if I don't allow you to play this music, you won't come to Youth Fellowship, so there'll be nobody here. Yes. And I'm telling you, this is the way I did it. I said, if you guys don't come to Youth Fellowship, I don't have to be here on Friday nights. I could go to prayer service with my wife, or we could go out to dinner, or we could do anything else. So don't come. We're not playing this song. But then I came across this analogy. True story. Father of some teenage children had a family rule that they could not attend PG-13 or R-rated movies. And I need to let you know that some of the parents were upset with me because I wouldn't let the children play that song. And some of you, when you hear this, you may remember it because I showed it to the pastors and I read this in the sanctuary or before service. Father of some teenage children had a family rule that they could not attend PG-13 or R-rated movies. His three teens wanted to see a particular popular movie that was playing at the local theaters. It was rated PG-13. The teens interviewed friends and even some members of their family's church to find out what was offensive in the movie. The teens made a list of pros and cons about the movie to use to convince their dad they should be allowed to see it. Lord, you know I do everything you tell me. So just this once, the cons were that it contained only, say only, three curse words. Only three. The only violence was a building exploded and exploding, and you see that on TV all the time. And you actually did not see the couple in the movie having sex. It was implied sex off camera. The pros were it was a popular movie, a blockbuster. Everyone was seeing it. If the teens saw the movie, then they would not feel left out when their friends discussed it. I want to feel left out when people I know are involved in sin. I don't want to just feel left out. I want to be left out. The movie contained a good story and plot. It had some great adventure and suspense in it. There were some fantastic special effects in this movie. The movie stars were some of the most talented actors in Hollywood. It probably would be nominated for several awards. Listen to this. Many of the members of their church, their Christian church, had even seen the movie and said it wasn't very bad. Therefore, since there were more pros than cons, the teens said that they were asking their father to reconsider his position on just this one movie and let them have permission to go see it. Father looked at the list and thought for a few minutes. He said he could tell his children had spent some time and thought on this request. We spend too much time thinking about how we can get away with doing what we know God said don't do. He asked if he could have a day to think about it before making his decision. The teens were thrilled, thinking, now we've got him. Our argument is too great. Dad can't turn us down. So they happily agreed to let him have a day to think about their request. The next evening, the father called in his three teenagers who were smiling smugly into the living room. Yeah, we got him now. There on a coffee table, he had a plate of brownies. The teens were puzzled. The father told his children he had thought about their request and decided that if they would just eat a brownie, then he would let them go to the movie. But just like the movie, the brownie had pros and cons. The pros were that they were made with the finest chocolate and other good ingredients. They had the added special effect of walnuts. It says yummy, but I don't use the word yummy. The brownies were moist and fresh with wonderful chocolate frosting on top. He had made these fantastic brownies using an award-winning recipe. And best of all, the brownies had been made lovingly by the hand of their father. I'm not supposed to smoke weed. Why did God make it? The brownies had only one con. He had included a little bit of a special ingredient. The brownies also contained just a little bit of dog poop. But, he had mixed the dough well. They probably wouldn't even be able to taste the dog poop. And he had baked it at 350 degrees, so any bacteria or germs from the dog poop had probably been destroyed. And lastly, wait until you hear this. The dog poop came from purebred dogs of the highest pedigree. Therefore, if any of his children could stand to eat the brownies, which included just a little bit of crap, then he knew it would be okay for them to see a movie with just a little bit of smut and not be affected. Of course, none of the teens would eat the brownies. So now the father's sitting smugly, smiling. And anytime their children would come and ask them to do anything that was not in line with God's will, he would just say, "Do you want me to whip up a special patch of brownies?" Why did I tell you that? We think just a little unholiness is okay. Just a little. Do you want to eat some dog poop brownies? Because when we decide to operate in unholiness, that's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. And the devil is just looking, what he's doing, using young folks' terms, he's pranking you. He's going to wait. You think you're going to eat it. He's going to mush it all in your face. Because he wants people to look at you and go, "Ooh, that's what being Christ is all about? No, thank you. No, thank you." We need to understand that holiness is something that God considers valuable. He does not want his holy people mingling with unholy actions. That's not to say we avoid the unholy. No, we let our lives be a witness. But we don't allow them to witness us doing what they're doing. Leviticus 20, verse 7 says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." 1 Timothy, I think I'll end with this. Remember I said, "I desire, therefore, that in every place men should pray without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands." Hands undefiled by sin. Hands that are pure, holy. The Message Bible puts a different spin on it. Since prayer is at the bottom of all this, what I want mostly is for men to pray, not shaking angry fists at enemies, but raising holy hands to God. Folks, I'm just going to say it like it is. When we start going like this to rally our own personal preferences, when we start pointing fingers at people who are saying things and believing things other than differently than we do on any other scene that's not spiritual, we're operating in unholiness. We think our opinions are right. Father, thank you that you'll give us revelation or you'll give them revelation. That's it. Because that's what holy people do. You don't call names. I think it's very... I was the third born. I wouldn't respond to anyone coming to me and saying, hey, number three. I have a name. And if you want my attention, you'll call me by my name. And my name isn't three. When we do things like that, we're not acting holy. We're getting caught up because the crowd thinks it's a good idea. And I'm not saying they're wrong in their thinking. But as we learned from John Bevere, you can be right and wrong at the same time. You're right in your thoughts, you're wrong in how you carry them out. We have to understand, folks, we're a part of something much bigger than our own individual preferences. We're a part of something much bigger than our own likes and dislikes. Say, I'm a part of something much bigger. And we have to rely and stay focused on that. What are you going to do about these issues going on? I'm going to pray for all that are in authority. I'm going to pray for men everywhere. I'm going to pray. What are you going to pray? I'm going to pray the same thing that God said he wants, that all men be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. I'm going to pray that we live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, because that's what's good and pleasant in God's sight. Not pointing our fingers, not shaking our fists, not opening our mouths and releasing words. I don't care who the source is. Dog poop is dog poop, no matter what type of dog it comes from. It is what it is. And you can't make it anything else. It is what it is. And it will do what it's supposed to do, no matter how hard you try and cover it up. But you got to see it for what it is. And I want women to get in there with the men in humility before God, not primping before a mirror or chasing the latest fashions, but doing something beautiful for God and becoming beautiful doing it. So that means as we change inwardly, our outward appearance also changes. Praying about a situation will get you going from this to this. And that's what we want people to see. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I know Pastor Ed read this prophecy last week, but I just want to share part of it. God said, I have given this place to you. I will not have it become common. He's given us this life that we can live into. He's given us his son. He's given us all of those things, and he didn't give them to us for us to now become common, used by anything at any time, having no say over what you do. That's common. These are common entrances. But even though they are, we guess what? If we don't want anyone coming in, what do? We lock it down. That's what we'd have to do when the unholy thoughts come in. We have to lock them down. And don't say to yourself, don't believe the lie. The urge is so strong, I just can't control myself. So are you telling me that the Bible lied? No, I'm not saying the Bible lied about what? Casting down imaginations and strongholds and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So if it's so strong, how can you bring it captive? It's not that strong. All it did was puff up like Arnold Schwarzenegger, make you think it's so strong. He said, she said, this is sacred, holy, and ordained ground. You need to understand that you're sacred, holy, and ordained. Uncommon. Uncommon people do uncommon things. A couple of weeks ago, we were at the movies. Went to see this movie called The Way. I'm not remembering the actress's name. She has Kathy Lee Gifford. I do remember. Yeah. She was in it along with some other award-winning actors. It was a very good movie. Toward the end of the movie, the Holy Ghost said to me, there are people in here who have seen this movie and who want to come back to me or want to come to me but don't know how to do it. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, Lord, you're probably right. So I want you to give an altar call in the movies. In the theater, in front of all those people, give an altar call. When the movie ends. So when I thought the movie was ending, I started to get up. And Minister Phyllis thought that maybe I needed to stretch my knees. She said, do you need to stand up? I said, no, God told me to give an altar call. She immediately went into prayer. I'm like, pray on, honey. Honey, pray on. And people started leaving. I'm like, Lord, they're leaving. Do I just get up? You said do it at the end of the movie. People are going to leave. He said, those that stay are the ones that are hungry, and those are the ones I want to reach. And so I got up and I said, excuse me. I'm not affiliated with the theater or the movies. I do have a relationship with God. And he told me that those of you that stayed want to get to know him or want to reconnect with him. Give me 30 seconds of your time and we'll do just that. And that's what I did. That's what I did. That was uncommon. Because my head and my thinking were not defiled by sin, so I was able to clearly hear what God was saying. When our head is clogged with other things, we don't hear clearly, folks. And it's very important that we clearly hear what God is saying. Just like he just dropped on joy. And Minister Phyllis heard what was happening. Now, for clarity, this is Minister Phyllis. She has been ordained, and she operates with the full authority of the pastors. I have to say that because I don't want to come in here one Sunday and you figure you'll do what she did. There's some things she doesn't have to come to us and get permission. It's in the realm of who she is. And God is not going to tell someone who's not authorized to get up and do something. No, but you asked me, yeah, I'm getting to that. You asked me about laying hands on, but you didn't, I wasn't in here for the other part, yeah. Because I told her, I said, God knew. And I showed her the scripture that he gave me. And she said, I believe this is supposed to happen now. Okay, the Spirit of God is directing. So I took a moment to check. And God said, yep, I want to do this now. And Dan just happened to be up adjusting my earpiece, and I said, let's start right now with the presence of the Lord. Forget everything else. Forget everything else. I heard clearly. And when you hear clearly and act based on what you hear, the people get blessed. The people get blessed. I heard clearly. Have Minister Phyllis minister to those that are online. You know what my response to those things are? Okay. Okay. Those online, make sure you send us a note, a letter, an email, a text. You know the social media stuff probably better than I do. Let us know, please. But this is sacred, holy ground. And the only proper response to God's marvelous mercies is to be holy as he's holy. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that you poured on the people today. Thank you, Lord, that this is a memorial, this is a seal that they know without a shadow of a doubt that you're at work, that you are always at work on our behalf. And we thank you that individually we will hear and receive from the Holy Ghost that which we're supposed to do with the words and the actions we receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, is there anyone here? I didn't forget the offering and the announcement. But is there anyone here who, A, has never received Jesus Christ as Savior, and realize that you need to when you want to, or B, you receive Christ, but you've been on the outskirts of town. You've been dabbling in some unholy stuff, and you want to make a commitment. You want to come back like the prodigal son. You did the riotous living. You realize it's wrong, and you want to come back. Know, first of all, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So we are not going to look, no one in here is going to look on you with eyes of condemnation. But everybody's going to look with hearts rejoicing because you once was lost and now you found your way back home. So if there's anyone here for either of those two, Would you stand where you are, please? Amen. Amen.